ring in the new year with more great music and comedy. Annie Mack, named one of First Avenue's best new bands in 2018, performs a listening room style concert at the Paradise as part of the Acoustic Gallery on Friday, January the 11th at 7 p.m. On Saturday, January 12th at 7:30, get your laugh on as the Paradise premieres the new Minnesota Comedy Showcase featuring 7 new and emerging Minnesota comedians. Tickets on sale at ParadiceCenterForTheArts.org or call 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show that celebrates stories, creating, and hopefully inspires you to go see a show or pick up a pen or grab a crayon and do some art. I'm excited for today's show. And one thing that I've been thinking about is improvisation. So we are going to start off the show with a little bit of music from Laura Caviani. She is appearing at the next 411 concert series, which is Saturday, January 12th. So this song is called Russian Strut, and this is from Angels We Haven't Heard, which is a great title for an album. And so this is Russian Strut from Laura Caviani on Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
Wow, I love it. A little jazz to wake up your imagination this morning on Art Zany Radio. That, again, was Laura Caviani, and that is from the CD Angels We Haven't Heard. That's her Russian strut. I love that, and I love jazz, and jazz always makes me think about improvisation. And I'm so just amazed at the abilities of jazz musicians to do some improv, and that's certainly been on my mind. And it's interesting because it's been on my mind for maybe a reason you wouldn't think about, and that's because this is the time of the year that I pick out a new planner, and I love planning, and especially at the beginning of a new season. I even talked about that last week on Art Zany Radio, that idea of setting up the new calendar and getting the list together and figuring out what your goals are and intentions. It's exciting to me, and I didn't get a chance to do that over Christmas break because the kids were around and it was just too much. So I started wondering if I need a little more improvisation in my world. And I'm not sure how well that would go, but I'm thinking about it. It feels a little scary to think about that, if I had more improv. Although I think about all the improv that I do, just managing every day the things that come at us. And you think, well, maybe I am okay at that. You know, the things that scare me about it are, what if I forget an important detail? What if I completely blow off something? You know, you remember those dreams? I sometimes still have these where you're supposed to take a test and you forgot to study, or you can't find the classroom you're supposed to go to. That's kind of how I feel sometimes about improv, not having a framework or an idea of where I want to go or what I want to do. And, you know, there's one time that I think about when I played a musical instrument. I played the clarinet, and our orchestra was playing at a shopping mall, which is a terrible place to have a concert. So I don't know who made that decision to have a concert in the atrium of a shopping mall. And it was really one of the worst experiences I've had. First of all, there's horrible acoustics. You cannot hear what the other side of the orchestra is doing. And in that song that we were playing, there was a clarinet solo that I was supposed to play coming up. And we were playing along, and I got lost. I could not find the beat. I couldn't figure out where we were. And I asked my second clarinetist, who was sitting next to me, you know, where are we in the music? And he just started laughing. He was not helping. He thought it was hilarious that I couldn't find the place in the music. And I don't know. It just was one of those moments where I remember complete panic. I didn't know where I was in the music, so I just started playing some notes and thought I was in the right spot. And I remember that look that the conductor gave me. And I'm sure that I wasn't supposed to be playing the notes at that time. It was a crazy experience. And it's probably the reason that I'm not so excited about improvisation when it comes to playing an instrument. But I am thinking about it, and I'm thinking about, like I talked last week, about that idea of fearlessness, and improvisation is one way to test that out a little bit and be a little bit bold. So I hope you'll join me, because I know together it's a lot better. So let's think about that this week for your Art Zany way of adding into your life a little improvisation. My guest today, I'm so excited, jazz musician Laura Caviani. You heard that piece from her. She's the jazz area director and the senior lecturer in jazz piano at Carleton College. She takes the stage with the Laura Caviani Trio for the next Northfield Arts Guild 411 concert, which is Saturday, January 12th, 7:30. Tickets are on sale now at northfieldartsguild.org. Look for the music tab and then the 411 concert series. As I mentioned, Laura Caviani is the opening act. Their information is at lauracaviani.com, and then Devine and the Vagabonds are the featured act. That venue is the Armory Square, so it's going to be a place where there's a lot of tickets. So if you tried to get tickets to 411 before, they've been sold out. This one might be the one that you should go to. Laura Caviani has performed and recorded for over 15 years. Her debut CD, Dream Life, was hailed as outstanding by the Star Tribune. She has another album as One, a holiday album that we heard that piece from, Angels We Haven't Heard, and it was considered the finest of new jazz for the season of holiday music by the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Her solo release, In Your Own Sweet Way, was poised right where the salon meets the saloon, with as much spunk as serenity. What a great description. Since she has Going There, her fifth recording as a leader, is already receiving wide praise. So she is an exceptional artist, and I'm really excited for you to meet her and hear more about her story on Art Zany Radio. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's my pleasure to have you here. I am so thrilled. I saw that you were listed in the upcoming 411 concert series, and I knew I wanted to speak with you. And so thank you to Rachel Hyder for making that happen. And we just heard a little bit of Russian Strut, which was kind of a tune appropriate for the times. Tell our listeners a little more about that particular tune.
Sure. Well, hi, Paula. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course.
It's really great to meet you. And so we just listened to Russian Strut, which is my arrangement of a movement from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite. And it featured, you heard on drums, Phil Hay, Tom Lewis was on bass, and Pete Whitman was on sax, and Joe Cosgrove on trumpet. And that was recorded a long time ago on my first holiday album, Angels We Haven't Heard.
Which is a good, nice twist.
And it's got kind of a second line groove, and people seem to like that one a lot. So I thought it was a good starter for our interview.
Right, as we open up the new year, and the holidays aren't that far behind.
That's right.
It plays for everybody. One thing I'm wondering about you is, did jazz come to you, or did you find jazz? How did you connect with that rhythm, that music, that beat?
Jazz definitely came to me via my dear departed father, who was a huge jazz enthusiast. In fact, he actually went to college in Grinnell. He and my mom met there, and the accompanist for his barbershop quartet was the one and only Herbie Hancock,
Whoa.
Who was a student there at the time. So I grew up listening to not only Herbie on LPs back in the day, but my dad loved Modern Jazz Quartet and Early Miles and Sarah Vaughan and Dave Brubeck and so I feel very fortunate that my dad had a good jazz collection. And then, of course, my mom was classically trained, and so she gave me the classical, Gustav Holst, The Planets, and I loved listening to Bach. And I took classical piano lessons for many, many years and feel very fortunate to have had a fantastic piano teacher in St. Cloud, where I grew up. But so jazz definitely found me. And I just kept gravitating towards, I think composition was interesting to me as well. And I found that I would use improvisation on the piano to come up with my compositions. So I think the process of composing probably got me thinking more and more about improv. And yeah, I had a really great education and feel very fortunate to have studied jazz at Lawrence University. And so then from there, you know, it just keeps it's a lifelong process, you know. It really is.
I would think so, because yeah. I talked about in the intro, improvisation is something that really scares me.
Don't let it scare you.
Well, it shouldn't, because this is what we do at the radio station at this show all the time. People think that there might be a pre-plan, but so much can go wrong in a radio interview that you're always trying to manage lots of different parts.
You have to be flexible.
But when it comes to an instrument, then that's the thing that I think, whoa, I played the clarinet for a long time.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, but I always had to have my music. And
sure.
My parents used to, I think I've told this story before, but they used to wake me up when Pete Fountain was on the Tonight Show.
Sure.
And I can always very distinctly remember thinking, he doesn't have music.
No.
How is he doing that?
Right.
And so even if he was playing a song that was already, you know, he knew it, he played it 100 times, to me it was amazing that he didn't have that backup. And then to think to twist things and to turn things and to be able to, you know, take a song in a new direction that sort of, you know, feels the moment, or, you know, takes it in a new direction, or feeds off of something that someone else played is a phenomenal skill. So I'd love for you to talk to our listeners about your study of improv and what you've learned.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, I teach improv at Carleton now, and I have taught at Carleton and St. Olaf together, and I feel so fortunate to work with so many talented young students who teach me as well. You know, they give me energy, and they motivate me to continue my studies in improv. And it, like I say, it is a lifelong thing. But I will preface everything by saying that I was mortified as well. You know, when I was in junior high and high school playing the trumpet in the jazz ensemble, I would write out my solos ahead of time and memorize them because I didn't want to play a wrong note. But you know, there are a lot of musicians that I've met over the years who say there's no such thing as a wrong note. And so now when I teach at Carleton, I have my students repeat that phrase, that there's no such thing as a wrong note, and every note is an opportunity, and it really is all about resolution. So if you play a wrong note, for example, you think, oh, I didn't like that, then you play it again with conviction, and then you resolve. You resolve it up or down. There was this great trumpet player that I worked with, Clay Jenkins, who said, if you play a wrong note, just play it again with conviction and then go up or down a half step.
That's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah. I mean, and so the main thing is to keep the groove. You know, if there's if you have a choice between playing something in the groove or playing a right note, always play in the groove. You know, so it almost doesn't matter what note you play, as long as you keep the form and keep the groove.
So when you're saying groove, are you talking the style of or the foundation of that particular song, or is there something rooted in the history of that piece? Tell me what you mean by in the groove.
I'd love to explore that. Well, I mean, let's say, all right, so one of my latest passions is dancing. I go up to Tapestry and go dancing. And the contra dancing is so much fun, and I just love it. In fact, Northfield is hosting contra dances on occasion, and I would love to help promote more contra dancing here in Northfield because I think it's a fantastic art form, especially when you have a live band. So when you're dancing with a live band, you want to dance in step with the band, right? You
follow the beat, right.
You want to be with the band. And you know, so it's that simple. You know, you don't want to overthink it. It's just a matter of making sure that everything you play is in sync with the people around you. And I remember hearing Count Basie's band back in the day. They played back in the mid-80s at the Ordway. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this band is grooving so hard. And it almost felt like it was slowing down. It was grooving so hard. But it wasn't slowing down. It was just that they were all together and they were just, the groove was so fat you could roll around in it. It was just so fantastic. And you can't really explain it. You just have to feel it. And so if music is going on and you want to dance to it, that means it has a good groove. And that could mean a Latin groove. There are tons of Latin grooves. There's fantastic swing grooves. The groove is everything. Jazz is about the groove.
That makes a lot of sense. I haven't heard it explained that way before.
I have never said it. You asked the right question. I've never talked about it before. I feel lucky to be asked such good questions, Paula.
Oh, thank you. Because I do think that that's where the fun of a jazz concert comes in is because you know, each experience is of the moment in or of the group, or there's something that happens that might not happen the next night.
That's very well said. And, you know, actually that song I wrote, In the Moment, in my mind, I remember when I wrote that song, I thought, you know what, this is all about, you know, where we are in our country right now, where we are in our society, where each person is in their own journey. It is just imperative that we be in the moment, you know. And when you make music and you have that mindset, you are more appreciative of the people you're performing with. You're more appreciative of the audience. You're more likely to feel the energy that the audience provides for you.
Mm-hmm.
It just, rather than stressing out about which notes are right, you know what I mean? Or rather than worrying about what you just said or what you're about to say, or, you know, there are all these stresses that you, especially as a band leader, I can easily get stressed out about things. Better to just not worry about it and be in the moment. And I learned that from the drummer that we just heard, Phil Hay. yeah, he talks about that a lot, and just to be in the moment.
Yeah, and you do have, I mean, so many great musicians that you've worked with, and so many experiences. And I think what I loved looking at your website was all the photos of you. You look like you're having such fun. There's so much joy.
Yeah, well,
whether you're with students or mentors or other fellow artists. Mm-hmm. So where does that joy come from, and how do you keep nurturing that?
Well, like I said, the students really. That's why I'm still teaching to this day, because the students, especially at Carleton and Olaf. I mean, I've been fortunate to teach at a lot of jazz festivals, you know, that people bring me in to work with youngsters and different colleges and high schools around the region. But Carleton and Olaf alike have fantastic students who keep me young, and they keep me curious and motivated. And, you know, every group that you play with is a different experience. You know, every musician is unique, and no two groups are alike. And so every gig is different, and because it's an improvisational art form, you have no idea what's going to happen next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have some idea in terms of, well, we'll keep the form, we'll keep the groove, but beyond that, all bets are off. And, you know, people quote things that make me laugh, or they'll take a left turn when I thought they were going to go right. That's one reason why I loved Thelonious Monk's music, is because... You know, I used to not love Monk at all. I used to respect him as a composer, but I didn't understand his recordings because they were too quirky, too weird, too angular, too just not fluid. You know, I grew up loving Brahms and Chopin and Beethoven, and that the Romantic era, especially of classical music, is very full of long, beautiful phrases.
Right, there's clear cycles through the song that you can sort of hook yourself on.
A lot of soft edges, and it's really romantic and lovely. And I'm waving my arms around like people can see me, but it's not. but Monk is the opposite of that, the antithesis of that. And so for years, I kind of didn't get it. And then when I was in grad school at Michigan, my dear friend and colleague Andrew Bishop, who now teaches at Michigan. At the time, he and I were grad students together, and I had said something to him like, well, I respect Monk's composing, but I don't think he's a very good pianist. I must have said something that drastic. And he said, that's it. You're coming over tonight.
Oh, no.
And we're listening to Monk together. And, you know, that was a long time ago. Luckily for me, he invited me over. And as soon as we listened to the music together, I caught the humor of Monk and the wit. And like I say, what he would do is performing is he would say something, and then he would stop, and there'd be these long silences, and then he would say it again, and he would stop, and then you'd expect him to say it a third time, but he'd go off in a completely different place, and it makes people laugh, you know. So if you can kind of hook into that humor, you know, I just can't tell you how much fun it is to listen to the music of Monk. And so that's why last year he would have turned 100. So that's why our trio decided to feature an album of Monk's music. And over the years, I would do these tributes to honor Monk, because Monk was born the day before I was. So at the Dakota and at the Artists' Quarter later, we would have these annual gatherings in October to honor Monk. And I just absolutely love it. His music is the antithesis to Brahms.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and Chris Bates is on bass, and Dave Schmallenberger is on drums. And we did this album called Mysterious Thelonious. And actually, the artwork on the album is kind of beautiful. Chris Rashke is the artist, and I just love that. He did this whole book honoring Monk, and he just happens to be a St. Olaf alum, which I think is a small world. But anyway, so yeah, that's a long answer to your question.
That's okay, because I learned a lot of things from that, and I want to remind our listeners, this is Paula Granquist. You're tuned in to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination, and a little later in the show, we're going to play a selection from that collection. Remind you that we're talking with Laura Caviani, and she and the Laura Caviani Trio are going to be performing on Saturday, January 12th. That's at 7:30 at the Armory Square, which is now downtown right by Imminent Brewing. It's one of the first few concerts that are going to be there, so I'm really excited. They're opening up for Davina and the Vagabonds,
yeah,
which
she's great.
Is also really exciting. Mm-hmm. And so it's a night not to, I think you need to get your tickets, and you can get those at northfieldartsguild.org. Easy click, couple clicks, and you'll find your tickets, something I'm very excited about. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and I should mention that the bassist for our portion of that concert is Kevin Clements, who's a phenom, and happens to live in Northfield. And then Eric Hansen will be on drums, and he's a very fine drummer. So it should be a really great, I think we just play for half an hour from 7:30 to 8, and then Davina's on with her band.
So it'll be a full evening of yep. entertainment and music. And so tell us a little bit about building trust within, because you play with so many different people, and, each time you come together, as you mentioned, it's a new experience, but I would think that part of the improvisation, there you go, I stumbled on my own word there, is to know that you're in good hands and that you're going to be supported. How do you build that with another musician?
Well, that is such a profound question, and you're making me think about this amazing bassist who I have been able to play with just a few times over the years, the great Billy Peterson. Mm. And he's from the Peterson family of fame. Jeannie Arlen Peterson and Linda Peterson and Patty Peterson. And there are just always Petersons in Minnesota that are amazing musicians. Tommy Peterson, I think, was on the Tonight Show band. He moved to California. Anyway, so Billy Peterson is a great bassist. Long ago when I was playing with him, he said, "Laura, you have to trust me." That's all he said. And a little light bulb went on, because I think when you don't trust the people you're playing with, a lot of things can happen that can prohibit the music from flowing.
Mm.
And so that's why I encourage my students to play with other people as much as possible, because if you just hole up in a practice room only and play on your own, you learn how to trust yourself, but you don't really learn how to trust other people. And so really the only way to learn how to trust other people while you're making music is to play as much as possible with other people.
That's interesting, because that is, the foundation is trusting yourself, but mm-hmm. then I don't know that maybe I would imagine you understand the music in a different way if you bring other people into it with you on that journey to discovery of the song or the style or something that opens up for you, yep. I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very well said. And yeah, I mean, there are, my students and I, we work on this together, because a lot of students like you, we all have fear. And like we said earlier, there's no such thing as a wrong note, but trusting. So, there are little tools you can use to nurture the trust that's just waiting to be there. I mean, the trust is there. You just have to uncover it and not get in the way of it, because it's all about the music. So the music wants to flow through you. It's waiting for you. It's there. It's all around us. And so how do you tap into that? It's way more fun to tap into that in a group. So you're in a group with people that you trust, or if you don't quite trust them, you're about to, and the music is flowing. It's waiting to be tapped into. And then one of the fun things you can do is to wait. Take a deep breath and just see what happens. You don't have to dive right in. So really listening is key, like when you have a good conversation with someone. So I often attribute, a lot of jazzers talk about the comparisons between having a decent conversation with someone verbally and making music with someone. There's a lot of commonality, because we improvise when we talk with people.
Right,
we have no idea.
I don't know what's going to come out next.
Right. So you have to pay attention and you have to listen. And there are things you can do. Like when you're actively listening in a group of people while you're talking, one of the coolest things you can do is wait after they've said something. And then maybe you restate just slightly, ever so slightly, what they just said. Because that's a sign of honoring the person that was just talking. And that's the same holds true when you're making music with someone. You just honor them by not necessarily repeating what they just said, but just so that they know you heard them. You know, that's a very fine way of building trust.
I love that comparison because that makes sense to me. I can relate to that definitely. And, you know, I wonder about the students that you're teaching now and what they come with their history with jazz or their knowledge of or experiences with concerts or musicians, because there's not as much jazz as there should be in the world. Mm. And I'm wondering what you're finding with these students these days.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this as of late, and I just feel that everyone can benefit from picking up an instrument of their choice and exploring it improvisationally, both alone and in groups, because the skills you gain can transfer to other areas of your life. And it's not necessarily about becoming a professional musician, you see. It's about keeping music in your life, because music transcends all other art forms. You know, I'll tell you this. There were a few years ago I was learning about Alzheimer's because there's a choir in the cities that is made up of Alzheimer's and patients and their caregivers. And so I was just doing a little research on, well, what exactly is Alzheimer's and what can we do to stave it off or even prevent it or even cure it? And, you know, the fact is that someone with full-blown Alzheimer's can still remember all the words to their favorite songs. So that says something about how music transcends other aspects of our bodies, other aspects of our brains. Music is in another sphere.
Mm.
And so I would argue that it's worth it to study music for its own sake. But that being said, the skills that you gain from studying music will help you in your life in other ways, too.
Are students listening to records? Are they coming with their iPods and sharing music with you? How are they? Because I feel like there's a difference when you hear something, you know, through electronic version versus the actual old, you know, drop the needle down.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? We're in a paradigm shift right now.
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
I mean, the weird thing is that LP sales are up. I would never have expected that, you know, 20 years ago.
Absolutely not. I'm glad I didn't get rid of mine.
I just bought a turntable. I can't believe it. But yeah, so LP sales are up, and you know, I still use CDs on occasion. But students very often. Well, I have this one lovely student who Joey, who takes his iPhone and holds it against his bass guitar strings, and then somehow miraculously the sound isn't amplified.
Through an app?
Through his amp.
Oh, through his amp.
Because the vibration on the phone is connected to the strings.
Whoa.
So, I mean, students are extremely creative when it comes to sharing music with each other. And, of course, the best way to share music is to listen in a group, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Better to listen in a group than to listen on your own. But a lot of my students, like I have another student who's studying with me, and I teach older people as well, and I firmly believe in transcribing, meaning you listen to it over and over and over and over and over again until you can emulate it perfectly, you know? And that's one of the fastest ways to truly study this music, is to listen on your own very in-depth, you know, very intensely. So that's a different kind of listening. That's listening in a studious way.
And so that you learn it till you can play it yourself,
yeah, exactly.
in an imitative way.
Exactly. As if you were that person.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it would be like learning lines to Shakespeare, you know.
True.
Suddenly you just become, you know, Othello or whoever, Titania.
You have to be immersed to embody that. So that's sort of when you're writing, you have to learn the rules first before you can break the rules.
That's an old adage that totally holds true, but I would just argue that it's okay not to know the rules. It's better to learn on the fly. It's better to learn by doing. So it's okay. Like I just really, really believe that don't practice by yourself until you think you're ready, because you'll never be ready. You have to just go out and do it. Because I spent years saying I wasn't ready, and as soon as I started doing it and not worrying about it, and realizing it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Just go out and do it. And there's room for everybody. I mean, the more music we have in the world, the better. The more musicians we have, the better.
And that's a pretty phenomenal thing. Folks, this is Art Zaney again. You're talking with Paula Granquist. I'm here, and I'm also with my guest today, Laura Caviani. And she is talking about the upcoming concert at the 411 Concert Series or 411 Concert Series. I always forget which way Dan wants us to say that, so I say them both ways. That is this Saturday, the 12th. So actually, it's a week from now. And Davina and the Vagabonds are the main act, but Laura, I think, Caviani and the Laura Caviani Trio is going to be opening, and you don't want to be late to hear that.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm very excited because one of the things you're doing this weekend, so people, if you're looking for something to do, you can head up to Grand Rapids for, I think this is, I can say infamous, Sam Miltich, did I say that right?
Miltich, yeah.
Miltich, improv session.
It
kind of has this regular gig tell us about, you're going to be playing with
him. I did it once before a couple years ago, and he truly is an amazing young man. I mean, he's young in my book, but it's the VFW in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and I think it's the first Friday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And his lovely father plays bass, and I believe it'll be Jay Epstein on drums again, and Jay, of course, was featured on my first album. You were mentioning you liked his help on that one when we did Stella by Starlight. That's Jay on drums.
I do. That's probably one of my favorite songs of yours.
Thank you.
Well, I haven't listened to some of the other ones, so there'll be a new other one.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and that's Terry Burns on that album. But, yeah, Jay is just this amazing icon in the Twin Cities for drumming, and Sam hires him on a regular basis. But Sam, you know, he's one of these gentlemen who's learned how to transcend styles. You know, he plays a lot of different styles on the guitar, and he's also composing, and he's reaching out to all ages of people. I feel very fortunate to be in his circle of musician friends.
Folks may know him because he came down for the August festival, the Chamber Music Festival, and played, I think, a couple times now. And when I heard him, I instantly knew that there was something incredible happening on stage.
Right.
And there's something about his heart, the expression that just pulls you in, and you can't help but be completely enchanted.
Yes,
by his music.
I would agree. Yeah.
And so, are you doing some improv? A set of how does that work when you go up there for his event?
Well, he's very generous, because it is his gig. So we will be doing his material, and but he's also very kind about asking to learn some of my tunes as well, and then we'll probably do a handful of standards because that's what people love to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a nice gig.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. That sounds really fun. And I hope maybe there's some folks from Northfield who make the trek up there. It's supposed to be a great weekend, and that is on the 4th. That's Friday night.
That's correct.
So folks should make a plan and go and see. Or I know Sam's coming back here in connection with Martha Larson and the Hotspot. So we'll hopefully give you some more details about that in the future on Art Zaney Radio. Mm-hmm. Are there folks that you are wanting to play with, or musicians that you've had experiences playing with that you think, I can't, pinch myself, I can't believe I've done this? What are your favorite memories or musicians you hope to play with someday?
I feel very fortunate to have played with a number of amazing musicians over my year. You know, I've been doing this a long time now. I am pinching myself. How old am I?
Yeah, folks can't see you. You could be 25.
Oh, Lordy. Will you marry me? Last fall of 2017, Carlton was generous enough to invite my dear colleague and friend, Karen Allison, who's been nominated now for 5 Grammys.
Ooh.
And I've known her and played with her since the late 80s. And I pinch myself every day, but I know Karen.
I don't know that music, so I'll have to go and look that up.
Yeah, she's an amazing singer, and she has a huge book. And she is recently championing one of my relatively new compositions where I took the poem that's on the base of the Statue of Liberty by Emma Lazarus. And that is also a timely, give me your tired, your poor, I feel very fortunate that she's been singing that lately, and I do have a recording of that. It's not released yet, but I could send that to you if you wanted to include that down the road. She does a beautiful job singing that song because, like I say, the message is crucial right now.
I absolutely think that's an important part of, and it's interesting how I think sometimes people forget that all music was once new, once popular, right? And even classical music had its heyday as the new invention, and that oftentimes music reflects where we are in the world and it's people's way of sharing what they're feeling and getting out into the world, how the lens that they see it and bring it to other people to maybe kind of share some of those feelings. I think we find unity through music in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, well, you look at the history of jazz, I mean, the bebop, which came after the swing era, kind of mid-40s to, even now, present, was a, connected to the civil rights movement and was definitely a revolution of sorts, not even of sorts. it's an African American art form and speaks to our times, and now you look at hip hop now, it's I would argue that's an improvisational art form as well, that's speaking to our times. It's hard as a teacher, because there are so many different kinds of jazz. Jazz is a huge umbrella, and now as the world gets smaller, it's even harder to define. But I would say that improv is at the heart of what I would call jazz.
Yeah, and you can't, I guess I hadn't thought about that you can draw kind of a line through some of those revolutions in music as different extensions or branches, or I'm not sure how you want to catalog it, but there's a connection to all of that world.
Well, if you're ever down in the basement of the new wing of the Whites, there's this fantastic poster near the jazz studio that is Mary Lou Williams is the one, I believe, who came up with this, but she portrays the history of jazz in this country as a big tree, and at the base of the tree are the roots of this art form that include, the African tradition, the European tradition, the suffering that has been part of this art form is a huge part of it. And then the blues is very soon thereafter, one of the first iterations of this art form. And so I would argue that the blues is infused in every branch that's been growing ever since, so the blues is infused in reggae and rock and pop and folk and most of my students, if they say I don't like jazz, I say, well, let's just do a blues together, and then usually they end up liking jazz.
You have to sort of allow that opening to come, and then, and I think that's the same with all kinds of styles of music is sometimes it's more about even the performer can change your mind of what you like because they're so just in tune, or they have the groove. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
And that brings you in, that lets you experience it in a new way.
Beautiful.
And I am so excited to be able to share this music and to be able to tell people about the 411 concert series coming up. Again, that's January 12th at 7:30. You go on stage right away at 7:30 and play for about a half an hour, and then Davina and the Vagabonds will follow. So look for the Laura Caviani Trio. It's really a true honor to have you here in the studio.
Oh, my pleasure, Paula. Thank you for asking such great questions.
I appreciate it. We had a lot of fun, so now we're going to play some more music from Laura Caviani. Thank you for listening to Artzany Radio.
folks, that was Laura Caviani, and that was from the CD we referenced earlier in the interview. That was Mysterious Thelonious, and that is the title or the track San Francisco Holiday. So that was a great, great time. I'm so excited to be able to have brought that interview to you. And you might be inspired to think about a little bit of improvisation. And I have a great opportunity for you coming up at the Northfield Arts Guild. They are having a couple of classes about it's an introduction to improv workshop. There's two sessions, one for adults, one for teens. And so this place. If you've always wanted to try improv, it is a one-day workshop, and so it's a way to help you find your spontaneous side, and you'll learn the basics in a fun and safe and supportive environment, which I think is really one of the keys to being able to, it's that trust we talked about. So building that will help you to gain those skills where improvisation can be fun for you. So I'm thinking about it. It is offered at the Northfield Arts Guild on Saturday, the 26th. The first session is for adults from 10 a.m. to noon, and then there's an intro to improv workshop for teens, which is from 2 to 4, again on Saturday, January 26th. Both those sessions are taught by Dionne Heider, who is spectacular, and very exciting that she's going to be doing that. And that is, again, on Saturday, January 26th. Get all the details at northfieldartsguild.org. Click on the education button, sign yourself up, and take a little chance, be a little fearless, and go and try something that maybe makes you a little bit nervous. I know it makes me, but I'm thinking about it too. So maybe I'll see you there at the class. I also want to remind you that last week on Arts Annie Radio, I talked with Kirsten Twitchell of the Paradise Center for the Arts. She is the executive director there, and we previewed a couple of events. And I want to remind you, on January 11th at 7 p.m., the Acoustic Gallery will welcome Annie Mack. She's an award-winning blues singer. And this show is one, I believe she said the tickets were like $5 because they've got some support for the show. I just got an email from the Dakotas. She's coming up there, and the tickets are a whole lot more than that. So you can go to Faribault and see Annie Mack for their Acoustic Gallery on January 11th at 7 p.m. Also on the 12th, they have the new Minnesota Comedy Showcase, and that is at 7:30. That's on Saturday, and that's an exciting new thing that they've got going on at the Paradise as well. So I think that's a really fun opportunity for you to see some new music, hear some new comedy. I also got an email. I want to look this up. I forgot to type this into my notes, so I'm going to do that while I'm here. Rob Hardy is hosting a Faribault Poets Night, and that is, he is our Northfield Poet Laureate, and along with Content Bookstore, they're going to invite you to reading by 5 Faribault poets on Thursday, January 10th. And, well, that's not right, because I think Thursday is the 11th. We'll have to double check that with, I know he has a Facebook page, or you can check the Content Bookstore website. The poets are Peter Allen, Larry Gavin, Audrey Kitcher, Heibling, I hope I'm saying that correctly, John Reinhardt, and Kristen Twitchell is going to be reading. That's so exciting. That starts at 7 at Content Bookstore, and each poet's going to read for about 10 minutes. So I'm excited to have that as a possibility for your week upcoming. Lots of stuff happening in Northfield, and a lot of things to find time to add some art zany to your life. So I'm very excited. We are going to go ahead and close out the show, but at the end, after a couple commercials, there'll be another song from Davina and the Vagabonds, and that one is Sugar Moon. So I hope you'll look forward to that, and hopefully I'll see you at that concert, at the 411 concert. And again, that one is at the Armory Square on January 12th, starting at 7:30. So thanks to my guest, Laura Caviani, today, and I hope that you all find time to add some art zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect